welcome everybody on a special Wednesday episode this week. Trash Talk with Tony Brasky is underway with yours truly. It's great to have you in here on the show this week. Joining me today, some of the guys are here, others are not. We are missing Tyler and Jay today, but that's all right because Eli Bashy, Mike Bilica, and Grant Richards are here with me today. So gentlemen, let's get into the intros. And let's start with Eli Bashy. How are you today, Eli? How's school work going for you?
School has been exhausting. I had to practice CPR today, and I passed my little test of actually doing CPR.
You had to test it on a person?
On a little dummy.
You know?
Little dummy. Oh. Yeah. Yeah, some little dumb guy he laid down, and I did it on him. No, I'm joking. I did it on, like, some... I don't even know what you... It's a dummy.
It's like one of those dolls, I guess.
Yeah, yeah.
But you passed.
But it's just like a toy. It's just like an upper torso, you know?
You said it's like a toy. Oh. Oh, it's good to hear that you passed that. Everything else is going well?
Yeah, I got work tomorrow morning, and then, big weekend coming up. We'll reveal soon.
Let's go to Mike Bilica now. How are you today, Mike? How's school going for you?
Well, school's going. We're doing great. I mean, you know, it is what it is, Tony.
I know you went to the Tigers game on Monday with Trash Talk listener Scott. How was that?
It was a great time. We beat the White Sox. The White Sox are overrated. They will be a first-round exit, but that's none of my business. We had a great time. Good win. Hidden Harold. Robbie got a run. What more can I ask for?
And you didn't get poured on, or did you?
I did.
Oh, you
did.
It was Monday night. Yeah.
They wouldn't call the game. They just kept
they couldn't
going.
Call like, the game. Right. They had to really try to get it in.
Well, I mean, they didn't do a delay or anything.
No.
Like, it was coming down. And I just sat there. You know, I didn't want to get my seat wet.
Oh, you didn't want to get your seat wet, but your body. It's all right. By the way, Mike. Did you see Alabama get that win on Saturday? It was a close one. They almost didn't pull it out. But they got the win against Florida. Did you see that win for Alabama?
It's never a close one for Alabama. They're always
It's usually
win.
Always a blowout.
They're always going to win. They're going to win it all. They're going to go undefeated.
Oh, just no.
Business as usual.
He's not even worried. He's not worried at all. Oh, goodness. Good to have you back on the show today, Mike. Last but not least, Grant Richards. How are you today, Grant? And as always, Mike, take it away from me.
How's the sports betting this weekend?
Ooh.
Man, I am good. I am coming off just an incredible 2 weeks of football, fantasy. No one cares about it, but not so great this week. But we'll bounce back. We'll bounce back. Sports betting finished up last week. Thanks to, again, another successful Saturday of college football betting, followed by an immaculate day of, okay, let's just say if you got points for missing all of your picks, I would have been rich on Sunday. Nothing hit. I mean, I had the Raiders money line in a parlay, which obviously hit, but I built probably four parlays and two of them were 0-3. So finished up on the week is what I'm taking out of this. But if you dive a little deeper, it gets a little murky. And just want to get another reminder out there. Check out the Ryder Cup this weekend. I know it's football weekend, but Ryder Cup is the conglomeration of Team US against Team Europe on a beautiful Wisconsin golf course. Wake up a little early. Like, you don't have to wake up at kick.
How early?
I mean, it's going to be on normal time. It's Wisconsin. We're getting
what is normal time for golf?
Oh, usually these Ryder Cups are kind of an all day thing. It's only a 3 day event instead of four, so they're playing golf all day, probably around 9 till dark.
Oh,
9 a.m.
I thought you were saying like 6 or something.
Oh no, not at all. That's international tournaments, but no, this is just 9 a.m. Just wake up. It's probably going to be on NBC. It's electric. Give it a chance if you don't want to listen to 3 hours of college football pregame about MAC schools you don't really care about. Tony, how was your sports betting week?
Terrible. I'm going to be real upfront with you. It was a terrible sports betting week for me. I decided to not go with any baseball bets this week. I decided to go away from those, which really hurt me. And now I'm back to baseball bets this week. I only went football bets last week, and from the beginning, it started off really bad. I'm sorry to admit, but I took the Ravens on Monday, and that that did not hit.
You don't have to apologize to me.
Me and Graham talked about this. We're cool. It's not like, you know, another member of this show who Grant thinks is skipping out on is skipping out on him. But didn't hit Monday. Didn't hit on Thursday Night Football. I did a college football bet on Friday. That didn't hit. Saturday, not a great day. It wasn't a winning day either. And then Sunday, the NFL bets, just like Grant, they they were not hitting. It was, to say the least, not a great sports betting week and weekend for me. But we're going to bounce back this week. We are going back to the baseball bets, as I mentioned already. Hopefully, that will give me some confidence going back into the football weekend, both for college on Saturday and NFL on Sunday. But right now, we're coming off a loss. We're going to hopefully bounce back, though. We are hopefully going to bounce back. And I learned my lesson as well. I learned my lesson last Monday. Do not bet against the Vegas Raiders, who we will talk about on the show later today. So with that, let's get into the program. All football talk today. Like I just said, we're going to talk Raiders and their 2-0 start to the season. We are also going to talk about the big time Sunday matchup coming up this week between Tom Brady and the Bucks and Matthew Stafford and the Rams. Oh, I've had that game circled for a while. I cannot wait for that. We'll also talk a little Michigan-Michigan State, as both those teams are on fire to start their respective college football seasons. But to begin today, let's obviously talk about the Lions' Week 2 Monday Night Football loss in Green Bay against the Packers. First of all, for me, I do want to mention this because though I haven't seen talk about this on Twitter, apparently it's out there. And I don't know why. I really don't know why it's out there. It doesn't surprise me, but I still don't know why it's out there. Apparently, people are mad with Dan Campbell. I don't know why. Again, I haven't seen people actually be mad at him, but apparently this talk is out there. And I don't get that at all. If anything, I'm actually happy with Dan Campbell after the first two games of the season. Because listen, as we have been saying on this program for weeks now, this is a rebuild. I know some people say, oh, the Lions have been rebuilding for 50 plus years since I was a little kid. Yeah, I get that. That's cool and all. But like, this is actually a full-blown rebuild this time. Okay? This is an actual rebuild that the Lions are going through. It's going to be a lot of losing this year, and it's going to be really, really bad to watch. Dan Campbell, though they are still winless through the first two games of the season, I'm actually really impressed with him as a head coach of this team through two games. Obviously, last week against San Francisco, it was the late fourth quarter comeback attempt that showed you that they didn't want to quit on Dan Campbell and they wanted to fight and play for him until the final whistle. I loved that, and I loved how on Monday Night Football, that team came out there and started so hot, especially offensively. And we'll talk about all that in a second here, but I loved how the Lions came out and started that game. Outside of Detroit, who really gave the Lions a shot in this game? Absolutely nobody. Who, even in Detroit, thought the Lions would go into halftime with a lead? Very likely nobody.
So, well, Tony, I don't mean to cut you off, but there was that guy that had that parlay for $700,000 plus dollars who lost.
Outside of Detroit, and whoever put their money on the Lions to win on Monday Night Football, not a lot of people gave the Lions a shot in that game, and not a lot of people had them going into halftime with a lead against the Packers. But that's exactly what happened, though. The Lions went into halftime with the lead, and they came out and started that game really, really well. Even though they did not come out on top and they lost that game, I still loved how the Lions went out there and didn't listen to the noise. That just goes to show you how good of a job Dan Campbell did getting his guys ready for that game and that moment. A game on Monday Night Football in Lambeau against Aaron Rodgers and the Packers that no one has given them a shot in. Nobody. I don't care that they're winless to start the season. It's a rebuild. That's okay. I don't know where this noise is coming from. I don't know where this talk is coming from where people are apparently upset with Dan Campbell. I'm not upset. I'm actually really happy with him and his staff. But actually getting into this game, though, it was looking good in the first half, mainly from an offensive standpoint. We'll talk about that mess of a defense in a second here. But offensively in the first half, things were looking really good. Jared Goff played fantastic in the first half of that football game. He was making some big-time throws in the first half of that game that were very 2018 Jared Goff-esque, if you ask me. The 31 throw to Quintez Cephas on the first drive of the game. The touchdown throw to Cephas. The touchdown throw to Hockenson in the first half as well. Those were some big-time throws from Jared Goff. And like I just said, those were 2018-esque Jared Goff throws, if you ask me. He looked good in the first half of that game. The offensive line, from a pass protection standpoint and the running game, they played very well in the first half and overall throughout the entire game, honestly. TJ Hockenson, Quintez Cephas, I just mentioned them. They had some big catches in that first half too, and they were up by 3 at halftime. Things were looking really, really good through one half in that football game. In the second half, completely different story. That's when it really unraveled for the Lions. First of all, offensively, Jared Goff, after a really good first half, he looked really bad in the second half. And I know it was raining. Some of those turnovers you might be able to blame on the rain, like the fumbled snap exchange from Ragnow to Goff. I mean, you could probably blame that on the rain. It probably slipped off of Goff's hands, but still, there were some bad turnovers from Goff in that second half. He did not play great in the second half, and the offense in general didn't score a single point in the second half of that football game. That wasn't great, but that's not my biggest concern following that loss. My biggest concern and my biggest problem with this team after that game is clearly the defense. Oh, this defense is a complete mess. It's so bad. The linebackers are very slow, and they can't cover. It's unbelievable how bad our linebackers are. And the secondary is not much better either. Fontu Melifonwu got hurt, which is really unfortunate because he's a rookie. And according to Dan Campbell, it sounds like this is going to be a long-term injury that's going to keep him out for some time. So 2 weeks into the season, the Lions are already down two of their top corners. that's just fantastic. The safeties aren't very good either. It's just a complete mess on the defensive side of the ball. And I mentioned this last week on Twitter and on this show. It's just a talent thing to me. It's nothing against the coaching staff. I still really like Aaron Glenn. I don't blame him at all for the defensive issues on this team currently. It's a talent thing that goes back to the previous regime. You know, as Brad Holmes gets more of his guys in here on the defensive side of the ball, we'll start to see a turnaround, hopefully. But right now, all we can do is just sit back and unfortunately watch. This defense is just not good at all. And overall, the second half of that game wasn't great either. But I still liked the way the Lions came out and started that game in the first half. Because like I've said already, I don't want to repeat myself here, but before I send it off to Grant, I want to make this point again. Even though they did not come out on top and they lost that game, this team is rebuilding. So the fact that they came out there, started the game the way that they did, that's a good thing for me. That's encouraging signs for Dan Campbell. So let's go to Grant Richards now. He'll have the final word on our Lions talk today. Grant, as our non-Lions guy, you watched that game on Monday night. What are your biggest takeaways from the Lions Week 2 loss in Lambeau?
Well, first things first, I've been probably one of the bigger riders for Jared Goff. I know that there's talent out there. I know he has it, and he showed it in the first half. Like you mentioned, just dropping absolute dimes. That one to Hockenson in the back of the end zone, like, I thought Hockenson's foot was out, so I was kind of thinking to myself, great throw, great catch, just couldn't get his feet in. His foot was very clearly in. Just a perfect pass, only catchable by Hockenson.
Yeah.
That's not getting picked.
Yeah, not to interrupt you, but again, when I say 2018-esque Jared Goff throws, that was one of them. I mentioned that throw for a reason when I was talking about that. It was a beautiful throw, and it was a great catch by Hockenson, too. Continue.
Yeah, no, just there is that talent of, like, there is that Jared Goff talent out there, that 2018 Jared Goff, as I think I'm going to start calling it now, Tony. But obviously there's that 2020 Jared Goff. I mean, just a not good quarterback out there that, I mean, it's Jekyll and Hyde with Goff. You don't really know what you're going to get. You don't really know when you're going to get good Jared Goff. I mean, it seems like he plays, like he comes up for big games, like against the Packers at Lambeau. That's kind of huge. And down 14 or down two scores to the Niners, he kind of woke up there too. So I don't know if it's a motivation thing. I don't know if he just locks in when he needs to lock in, but he needs to lock in for a full 60 or however many minutes he's on the field. He needs to lock in. I want to see that once. I want to see Jared Goff dimes the entire game. I know that's a lot to ask for from any quarterback, but I would just like to see better. Again, it's a rebuild. I didn't expect the Lions to win. Minus 14 was just too many points, in my opinion, to not bet. And that takes me into my next point of my frustration with Dan Campbell is the Lions only cover when I don't bet them. But other than that, I think Dan Campbell's doing a great job. I don't know where the frustration is when your like number one receiver is Cephas coming out and fighting with the Packers in a very obvious get right game for the Packers after getting embarrassed by the Saints week one.
Mm-hmm.
Getting out there knowing that every single Packers player was livid with how things went in week one and wanted to just beat up on this rebuilding Lions team and to give them a fight, give them hell through the first half was more than you could ever really ask for. And once again, to touch on the point that I think I always touch on is these guys are willing to fight for Dan Campbell. They're mm-hmm. willing to stick around.
Mm-hmm.
The Packers are a very clearly playoff team, maybe a number one team in the NFC North or in the NFC. I mean, not beyond the Bucks. But, they're going to make the playoffs this year. I think that would be outlandish to bet against the Packers making the playoffs.
Yeah, they'll probably win the North.
Exactly. I mean, the North is questionable.
Very bad.
But just to take a playoff team, get them on the ropes, lead at halftime, that's how you rebuild. And then, yeah, sure, you lose, but you showed that you can take their best stuff, their scripted plays, and throw it right back at them and hang with them. And I don't know, that was an impressive performance where, again, as an outsider, I might have thrown that game on my phone, put something else on the big screen if it turned into a blowout, but it didn't in the first half, and they roped me into an entire game.
It turned into a bit of a blowout in the second half. The second half was pretty ugly. After that 4th-and-1 miss from the Lions, that's just when this game completely flipped in the Packers' direction. Which, by the way, that 4th-and-1 call, I would have ran the ball, but at the same time, Jared Goff missed like 2 or 3 open receivers on that play. So if he hits literally one of those open guys and completes it, completely different story. We're not questioning the call. And who knows, maybe we're talking about a different football game here. I mean, the game was still within reach for the Lions at that point. If they complete that, who knows what we're talking about right now. But Jared Goff, he went to someone who really wasn't open. Meanwhile, I know Amon-Ra St. Brown was literally wide open. And I think DeAndre Swift was open too. But whatever. The point I want to make here, and it kind of bounces off what Grant mentioned. As an outsider, Grant said that he liked seeing the fight from this team in the first half, and so did I. But I like Grant saying that because, again, he's not a Lions fan. So to hear him say that, that encourages me. And another thing that encouraged me from last night's game, the Peyton and Eli broadcast on ESPN2 last night. Apparently, I didn't watch the Peyton and Eli broadcast. I know that might be kind of an unpopular opinion, but for the Lions game, I wanted to actually just watch the straight-up broadcast for that. So apparently during the Peyton Eli broadcast, I think Pat McAfee was the one who asked Peyton about the direction of this team and Jared Goff, and Peyton said something along the lines of exactly what we've been saying for weeks now. It's a rebuild. There's going to be a lot of losing, but he likes the direction, though. And I'm paraphrasing here, but he said that he liked the direction the team is going in, and there's like a culture being built. You can see the culture being built. I really liked hearing that from a guy like Peyton Manning. That really encourages me for the direction of this team. Now, we're only two games in, though, to the season. It's still going to be a lot of losing, but if we can continue to see progress like this throughout the rest of the season, even if it results in losses, that's good for me. That's really, really good. That's what I'm trying to see from this football team. I'm trying to see encouraging steps forward in the rebuild, even if the Lions lose these games. And through two games, we're seeing steps. We are seeing steps for a culture being built that not only people in Detroit are noticing, but people like Grant, they're noticing, who aren't Lions fans. Guys like Peyton Manning are noticing. And that's, as I've said, that's really, really encouraging. To wrap up the Lions talk here, it's on to week three now. Against the Baltimore Ravens and Tyler's favorite, Lamar Jackson. Hopefully he'll be here next week to talk about Lamar running all over this defense. it's probably not going to be fun. You know, the Ravens are coming off that big win on Sunday Night Football against the Chiefs. He's probably just going to dominate this defense, but we'll see, though. It's going to be an interesting game, to say the least. We will definitely see. On to our next segment. The 2-0 Vegas Raiders, baby. Grant, listen, before I give it to you, I want to talk to you for a second here about your 2-0 Vegas Raiders. They have impressed me. They really have impressed me. And outside of Derek Carr, who I'll talk about in a second here, one of the more impressive things on this team for me personally that I'm not seeing a lot of people talk about is that defense. The defense has played really well in the first two games of the season. In particular, in that game against Pittsburgh on Sunday, they were getting pressure to Big Ben. They were forcing him to make what looked to be uncomfortable throws. You did a good job kind of slowing down Najee Harris outside of the one touchdown catch that he had, and the one play where he just kind of shoved Jonathan Abrams out of the way. Other than that, you did a good job taking Najee Harris out of the game and keeping him quiet. I've been impressed with that defense. I've been impressed with your defense, and I've been impressed with Derek Carr too. On Sunday against Pittsburgh, I was really impressed with this one drive and throw in particular. Fourth quarter, Pittsburgh scores to make it a two-point game. It was 16-14. At that point of the game, it kind of felt like, okay, Pittsburgh is coming back. You need to have some type of response here. And how does Derek Carr respond? Throws it deep to Henry Ruggs, touchdown. And that was pretty much the dagger. That was super, super impressive. I've been impressed with your 2-0 Vegas Raiders. You have definitely shut me up throughout the first two games of the season. Derek Carr, I've always been a Derek Carr believer. I'm happy to see him balling out to start the season. And like I've said, your defense has also really impressed me to start this season. So with that, Grant, you're the Raiders fan here. Go ahead and talk to me about your 2-0 Vegas Raiders.
Oh my God, where to start, man? This has been like two nail-biting fun games to watch. But that's as political as I'm going to get. Derek Carr leads the league in passing yards. You can clip that, whatever you got to do, but that is
factual, right?
True as of Tuesday night, as of 8:52, September 21st, Derek Carr leads the NFL in passing yards. And it's not by a slim margin, man. He is like just dominating right now. He's getting MVP MVP recognition. I don't know. He's playing some of the best football I've ever seen from him. And do I need to say anything more, or should I just let that like absolute dot to Henry Ruggs miles downfield just puts it right where he can get it? And that was electric. But and the defense, man, like Max Crosby, have to mention his name. He's I mean, he's getting up there in Defensive Player of the Year. He's getting double-digit quarterback pressures. And mind you, this is with a very banged-up Yannick Ngakoue. I was very thrilled about the Yannick signing, but he's dealing with a hammy right now, and Max Crosby is acting like he doesn't even notice. We don't really have many more big names rushing the passer right now, and the fact that Max Crosby's getting through double coverage, I think I retweeted it this morning, Max Crosby bull-rushed the Steelers' right tackle, put him on his butt, almost got the sack of Big Ben, and just everything's going decent right now. I don't want to get ahead of things because long season, longer season than usual, but I'm enjoying this. This is, like, everyone's doing what they have to do to win. No one, like, Derek Carr's playing above and beyond. The defense is just, it's funny that everyone starts harping on the Raiders' defense now because this is, in my opinion, average defense. Maybe above average with quarterback pressures.
Average?
Okay, maybe I'm trying to hide my bias because the defense has been
No. Please let it all out.
It's been so bad over the years.
To play, not to play devil's advocate, but I have heard the Steelers' offensive line is, like, god-awful.
Who cares?
But, I mean, the Raiders still
old Raiders teams. Old Raiders teams still wouldn't have gotten to the quarterback. And maybe I'm just used to years of horrible, horrible defense of just complete liabilities. But there were a couple deep throws that Big Ben had last Sunday that old Raiders teams would have allowed to be completed and probably ran for an 80-yard touchdown. And now everyone's getting scrappy. Everyone's getting after the ball. And I think other than players, defensive coordinator Gus Bradley deserves a world of credit. He took a team that had defensive talent but looked terrible under previous defensive coordinator Paul Gunther. And just he simplified the defense, simplified everything, and these guys are coming out strong. And, okay, I'm going to get a little biased. This is the best defense I've seen in a very long time.
Let it all out.
And it feels so good, man. When you see someone throw a deep ball or you see Lamar start to scramble, other than that one really long run he had Monday night, when you see things like that, it's like you've been hurt before, so you know that deep ball's getting caught. And when it gets broken up, no flags on the play, oh, it gives me goosebumps. It shouldn't, because it's like a pretty easy thing to ask for. Like, hey, corners, break up passes. But after years of not seeing it, man, it's amazing. Everything about this team is just fun to watch. They throw the ball statistically more than anyone because Josh Jacobs is banged up and the O-line's banged up with Alex Leatherwood. I believe he did something to his pectoral. But and Kenyon Drake's not much of a runner. So, yeah, the Raiders just kind of air the ball out. And that is the Raiders I've been waiting for. I love Josh Jacobs. Don't get me wrong. I think he's an absolute tank. But just watching Derek Carr step back, almost every play is it's Big 12 football at its finest, and I'm so here for it because Derek Carr is that guy that can do that stuff. He can sling it.
As Derek Carr does best, sling that football around.
It is exactly what he does best. If he can throw it, he will. And last point that I just want to make, well, two more points. Number one, he did it without – he targeted Waller like five times. He really didn't – he wasn't honing in on Waller against Pittsburgh like he was in Baltimore with 19 targets. But so he's starting to share the ball, and that's when he gets dangerous. If he's forcing a Waller, that's predictable and stoppable. But when you're getting Bryan Edwards involved, Henry Ruggs involved, Foster Moreau involved, sweet baby Hunter Renfrow involved, one of the best catches of the season, he's dangerous, man. I mean, I say what you want, but he can be dangerous, and he is playing dangerously right now. And last point, Daniel Carlson is an absolute wagon of a kicker. I love that man. He's had the two clutchest kicks I've seen in a while. Nailed them both down the middle. One against the Ravens to send it to overtime, and one against Steelers to ice it, put them up 9.
Eli, is there something that you wanted to mention about the Vegas Raiders?
Yeah, earlier you guys were talking about glimpses of 2018 Jared Goff. I'm getting 2016 Derek Carr. This man is, dare I say, an elite quarterback in the NFL.
He is an elite quarterback in the NFL.
One of the best. It's hard to replace a guy like that. Gruden knows. You can't find anyone better than Derek Carr on the open market.
We were having a great conversation about the Raiders, and you just decided to drop that on us. Nope. What is wrong with you?
Derek Carr,
this year. I'm a Derek Carr defender. I'm not even going that far.
Well, will be after this year.
2021 Derek Carr is an elite quarterback. These two games we've seen are elite levels of talent.
You're so lucky Tyler's not here. I miss Tyler so much. He would not have.
When Tyler's quarterback's 2-0, man, he can talk to me.
Tyler doesn't even like his quarterback right now.
that's exactly why I said it. That's exactly what I was going for. But I mean, what has Derek Carr done wrong? Like, what more do you want from him to say he's not having an elite season right now?
It's two games. You're saying he's elite after two games?
I'm saying he's been elite.
Okay, but you guys say he's an elite quarterback.
I mean, if he can get out of his head, yeah.
He's out of his head. He's set. This Derek Carr is the best Derek Carr we've seen since 2016, and I never hear him mentioned in any like top QB lists, even like top 15. You don't even see Derek Carr, and I think it's just disrespectful because
I also think it's disrespectful, but I'm not saying he's an elite quarterback.
Well, we'll see this year because they've started as well as you could possibly start.
I'm not going as far to say that he's an elite quarterback. I'm not there yet, but I'm still impressed overall with the Raiders' 2-0 start. Now, you got to finish, though. Grant, we talked about this before the show. You got to finish. Being 2-0 is great. You're one of the only seven teams, I think, that's 2-0 right now, but We've seen this story before, have we not?
Only a few times. Only two times in the last 2 years. So, looking good, but I do just quickly want it on the record. I said he's having an elite season. I don't even know if I can ride for Derek Carr's elite.
Man, even the Vegas Raiders fans can't even go as far as Eli did.
But hey, if this continues,
if it continues, we'll have a conversation with Tyler here. But as for right now, even me as a Derek Carr defender, let's settle down a little bit here, Eli. But nonetheless, you're off to a 2-0 start. That's great and all. Keep it going, because we've seen this story before. So let's keep it going now, Grant. You got the Dolphins in Vegas on Sunday, who may or may not have Tua in that game because he's dealing with a rib injury, I think. In the early line for this game, Grant, the early line, I don't know if you've seen it, the last time I checked earlier this afternoon, Vegas Raiders -3.5. Grant, I might like that line a lot.
I kind of very much like that line. Oh. Banged up Tua.
That means the Dolphins are going to cover.
Yeah, of course, and maybe even win. But I told you guys at the beginning of the season, I said that I thought the Dolphins had legs in the playoffs, and kind of proving me wrong right now, but their defense is not anything to be taken lightly. Tua's banged up. Who's their backup quarterback?
Jacoby Brissett.
I hope Tua plays. Let's just say that.
Oh, you're more worried about Jacoby.
I think Jacoby Brissett might scare me more than Tua.
Eli, do you even know who Jacoby Brissett is?
Yeah, he used to be on the Colts. I had a Colts fan friend that wanted him to be their starting QB. Because I always brought up, why don't the Colts trade for Stafford? He's like, I'm fine with Brissett. I'm like, are you sure about that? But yeah, no, I'd be more scared of Jacoby Brissett than Tua, to be honest.
This does feel like a potential letdown game. Like, two huge wins over very good teams. Back home.
That is also
up against the Dolphins. I'm taking the Raiders minus whatever.
You know, another thing that has impressed me with the Raiders is the fact that they beat Lamar and the Ravens on Monday Night Football. And they beat a Steelers team with Mike Tomlin and playoff aspirations, okay? I mean, these are not two slouch teams at all. Those are nice wins to open up your season. Now, Miami, they may or may not have Tua, but they are coming off an ugly loss to Buffalo. When you play a team that just got embarrassed, you know, sometimes that might not play well in your favor. Miami's coming off a bad loss to Buffalo. They might be a little angry in this game. I don't know, but we'll see, though. Right, Grant?
Yeah, I mean, I trust Aaron Rodgers' ability to step up in a get-right game millions of times more than any of the Dolphins' quarterbacks to step up in a, hey, we just got our butts kicked by a good team. Let's kind of show an aspiring good team how it's done. Like, I don't see that happening, but of course, that's when it happens.
We'll see. I'm excited to watch that game on Sunday. I like the Vegas Raiders -3.5 line, which means the Dolphins are going to cover. But I like that line. I also like this upcoming week 3 matchup between Tom Brady and the Bucks in Los Angeles against Matthew Stafford and the Rams. That'll transition us into our next topic and our final NFL topic today. Listen, this is one of the games that I have had circled for a while, and I'm so excited that it's a week 3 matchup because this is a playoff-esque game. Like, this is a playoff-type atmosphere that we are getting week 3, and this is a game that is absolutely going to divide the Trash Talk crew. It is going to divide us because obviously we got Jay and his Tom Brady, Tampa Bay Buccaneers. It's going to be him against me, Tyler, Eli, Mike, and Matthew Stafford and the Rams. Maybe even Grant, too, joining the Stafford side? Maybe? Grant? Maybe?
Can confirm Grant is a massive Rams bandwagon.
Hey, okay. Grant's in it, too. Eli, Mike, all of us. And our boy Stafford against Jay and his boy Brady. This game is going to divide the Trash Talk crew, and I cannot wait. The early line for this game, when I checked this afternoon, is Rams +1. It was at Rams -1.5, I think. I think that's how it opened, but I guess we saw a flip there, which I get it. Tom Brady's playing unbelievable right now, but it's in L.A., Stafford, I don't know. It's going to be a good game. That's all I'll say. It's going to be a really good game and a must watch for the Trash Talk crew. Eli, I want to go to you here. Tell us why Matthew Stafford and the 2-0 Los Angeles Rams are going to win this game on Sunday.
Honestly, because I feel like they haven't even played their best football yet. And will that happen?
Well, week 1 was pretty good, but yeah.
Yeah, but they still got room to improve. I mean, in my opinion, they've had some trouble getting the run going. And, you know, that's not going to be too easy with all the injuries they have at the position. But, I mean, if they get the run going, it's going to just open things up even more for Stafford. And, of course, you know, you're not worried about Stafford ever, but we'll see. This is probably one of the biggest games Stafford has played in a long time, I feel like. A lot of spotlight on him.
Oh, easily.
And I can't wait to see how he does under that big pressure, the lights of L.A., and, you know, he's got the biggest game of the week. Tom Brady.
Tom Brady, the Bucs.
Sunday Night Football.
It's not Sunday Night Football.
It's not Sunday Night. Game of the Week. Fox Game of the Week.
Yeah, I think it's the Fox Game of the Week.
Yeah. It's gonna be electric. I think it's very winnable for the Rams, but it's
absolutely
gonna be
winnable.
It's a big test for them. Like they're not just gonna come out and dominate. This game is gonna be real gritty, and I hope a possible preview of a playoff matchup.
Mike, anything you want to add?
The better quarterback is gonna win.
And tell me who that is.
Matthew Stafford.
He's calling his shot now.
Mike, what would happen if Matthew Stafford got drafted by the Patriots? What would have happened?
He'd be probably a 10-time Super Bowl champ around there, I'd say.
Grant, you're unmuted. What do you want to say?
this is not a knock on Brady by any means, but I mean, who's going to look like a better quarterback when you have Mike Evans, Antonio Brown, Chris Godwin, Rob Gronkowski, the best offensive line in the game, or Robert Woods, Cooper Kupp, Tyler Higbee?
Hey, no Cooper Kupp slander.
No slander. Just saying I'd probably rather have Godwin or Evans over Cooper.
No, the Bucs have the better weapons for sure.
Right, so I'm just saying this is like a – I think this is a testament game. Obviously, Matthew Stafford has looked top-notch, very good against the teams the Rams have played and with the Rams.
Yeah.
But this is like a – like, obviously, people are starting to turn their heads and say, Stafford was that good? This would be – I mean, this would be the moment.
A massive moment. Yeah,
that good. Mm-hmm. This would be huge.
Yeah. I mean, you mentioned how the Rams have looked in their first two games of the season. Obviously, the Bears game was it knocked me out of my seat. that was just everything I wanted in Stafford's Rams debut. The game against the Colts, the Rams got tested a little bit. They really got tested. That Colts defense played very well, and they were testing Stafford and the Rams in that game. The Rams even made a few mistakes that football game, too. That punt that was messed up, I think it was in the fourth quarter, that was not good for the Rams. And at that moment, I was like, oh, boy, we got a football game now. But Stafford, that's why they traded for him, you know. Not to rip on my current quarterback right now in Detroit, Jared Goff. If Jared Goff was still the quarterback of that team – in that situation, the Rams honestly probably lose that game. But Stafford, he kept his calm, he kept his cool, and despite the Colts fighting into that game again in the second half, Stafford led the Rams down the field and they scored a couple of times. That's why you trade for him. And you trade for him to play in games like this too against the Bucks. This is going to be a ginormous, ginormous football game. Early in the season, it's early in the season, but this is definitely something we could see in the playoffs for sure. Maybe even the NFC Championship game. These are two of the best teams in the entire league, let alone the NFC. It's literally the Bucks. It's Tom Brady and the Tampa Bay defending champion Buccaneers. Like, it's going to be must-watch TV, folks. It's going to divide us. It's going to divide us. Next week's show is going to be great for some of us and bad for others. it's going to be fun, though. Grant, do you have any picks for this game by chance?
You know, I haven't really looked at the lines. It's kind of going to determine a lot. I think you said it's...
Well, Rams plus one right now.
Rams plus one?
Yeah.
I like Stafford and Brady go over 300. I think it's going to be an air out fest. I want it to be a defensive battle, just look a little good, but I think they both just kind of come out chucking. But you know what? I'm going to let some bias speak because as a Jared Goff supporter, I've been watching the Rams a little bit. I really like the Rams, man. I don't think they're going to run much. Like, as of right now, 9:15 on a Tuesday, we're leaning Rams money line.
The Rams win this football game, me, Eli, and Mike are going to be so annoying.
Oh, it's going to be all I know is Sean McVay has to have more trust in Stafford, I feel like.
He's a smart guy. He'll learn. There was a play in that Colts game. It was in the fourth quarter where I think they decided to run on third down or something like that, and I was like, you can't take the ball out of Stafford's hands in that situation.
No, because every time you let Stafford throw on third down and he has time, it's just an instant first down.
It's automatic. Especially third and long.
Sean McVay definitely has PTGD, which is post-traumatic Goff disorder.
I was supposed to say, what on earth is that?
Oh, jeez. I knew where he was going with that.
You saw bad Jared Goff with the Rams. I think there's a little hitch in Sean McVay fully giving Stafford the reins.
Yeah, I
just
agree.
Just a personal thing, but I mean, Sean McVay seems like a smart guy. It seems like he could have worked through this by now, but I think he comes around.
I think he'll have to in this game.
It's early in the season. Exactly. Once they get the chemistry built up a little bit more, that trust is going to be there for sure. It'll be fun, though. And if the Rams win this game, oh.
I'm going to be insufferable.
Mike is going to be very annoying. He might be the most annoying of us.
Are you kidding me? A real quarterback beating a fake system QB? Oh, my God. Let's do it. Let's run it. Come on now.
Fake.
If the Bucs win, though, we are going to be very annoyed with Jay. You know how Jay gets when Brady wins a big game. I can't wait. No, next week's show is going to be chaos if all of us can make it, hopefully. Oh, goodness. It's
all
gonna
I
be
know
fun.
Is if the Bucs are going to lose, I don't know if Jay's going to call him.
He might no-show.
Yeah. Well, I hope
I don't blame him.
I hope he can make it. But, Mike, moving off the Rams and Bucs here, before we end the show today and talk some college football, I do want to ask you, Mike, since you're talking, did you see that your boy Mac got his first NFL win on Sunday?
I love it.
Hey!
On his way to his first Super Bowl. I can't wait.
Okay, we're done with NFL talk now. we're done with NFL talk after that one. Derek Carr is elite and Mac is getting a Super Bowl, I guess.
Shout out to Jack Del Rio. Just wanted to give a shout out to him.
What did he do?
He developed Derek Carr.
That he did. He led him to a 12-3 season before Derek Carr got hurt.
Oh.
People forget. And then was fired. So explain that to me. Like, best season we've had since 2001.
Well, you know why. You know why.
Oh, I know.
It was
I'll tell you what, man. You know why. You know why he got fired, man. I'll tell you what.
Hey, now. Hey, now.
Gruden's grinder finally paying off, man.
All right. Let's move into our final topic today, and then we'll get out of here. Michigan and Michigan State. Both of them are 3-0 to open up the college football season, and dare I say we got something brewing with our two big college football teams here in the States. I mean, both of them are looking really good right now. It's still early. You know, we don't want to get too ahead of ourselves here, but both of these teams are playing really good right now to start the year. Starting with Michigan, listen, it's Northern Illinois. Okay, like, I'm not trying to go too crazy here because it's Northern Illinois, but just because of the opponent they played, that still can't take anything away from the fact that Michigan put up 60 plus in that football game. Especially coming off a game against Washington where people, including myself, were kind of questioning the passing game. It was impressive to see Michigan have the performance they did through the air, on the ground, and just the overall team performance that they had against Northern Illinois. That was a dominant performance in every category for Michigan. They are looking pretty strong to start this season. So is Michigan State. I am very happy with the way Michigan State has started this season. I know some people go, oh, but Miami, they're overrated. They shouldn't have been ranked, blah, 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 blah. I really don't care. To go into Hard Rock and dominate the fourth quarter the way Michigan State did and win that football game, oh, I was so happy seeing Michigan State get that win on Saturday. And now we're ranked? I cannot believe it. 3 games into year 2 of Mel Tucker, and technically the first full season for Mel Tucker as well, we're already in the top 25. Oh, I'm very happy with the job Mel has done so far. Michigan State is playing relevant football games again. I'm super, super excited for that. And both of these teams, if they continue to play the way that they do, people on Twitter are already talking about it. It is a big game coming up on October 30th. Oh, if both of these teams could go into that game on fire and playing good football, ooh. You think the Bucks-Rams game might divide us. This game also might divide the Trash Talk crew a little bit. Huh? I don't know. It's going to divide Twitter, that's for sure, but that's way down the line, though. Regardless, both these teams, like I said, they're playing really well to open up the season, and it's exciting. It's definitely exciting to have these two teams playing really good football to open up the seasons. For Michigan, it's exciting for Michigan fans like Grant because they're starting to think they have a shot against Ohio State. Grant, I want to go to you to end us off today. Talk about Michigan. talk about how Michigan fans are starting to feel really good about the Ohio State game, even though that is still way down the line. And also, if you want to talk about Michigan State really quickly, you can as well.
Well, it's been fun watching Michigan just cram the football down the throats of mediocre opponents. But it was actually nice to see Cade McNamara make some nice passes last week, kind of show like, hey, we just run the ball because it's easier. They're going to score. It was getting kind of frustrating just seeing run. Not because I'm this crazy air it out all the time type guy, just because that's not how you beat good teams. You have to have a good mix. And I think they kind of showed that the ability's there. It's just very easy to run on bad teams when Michigan has a good O-line, great running backs, and they're playing MAC schools. And in this situation, Washington is a MAC school because they are garbage. That game was hyped up way too much. But yes, they are starting to speak it into existence about beating Ohio State. It used to be that thing you don't talk about till the week of. You just kind of get there, super hopeful, getting ready to go to Indy, and then get your head kicked in or lose the close one. Whatever it was, it doesn't feel like anything's changing other than the fact that Ohio State is not playing like they usually do. Normally, these are big-time covers, even against a ranked team early on. Ohio State usually shows up. Mind you, this is like one of Ryan Day's first recruiting classes, so that's where I'm getting hope. Is maybe it was a rough class for these guys. Maybe they're actually not that good. But Ohio State shows up for everything.
We've seen this story before with Ohio State, though. I mean, yeah. I understand having Tulsa cover is like, whoa, what's going on there? But we've seen this before, okay?
Oh, 100%. This happened. Like I was trying to get around to with my jumbled words. Ohio State shows up for the Michigan game. They know it's the biggest game on Michigan's radar, while Ohio State's looking at the Big Ten championship, potential of the playoff, probably not this year, but they're usually eyes on something bigger. And the way Ohio State's playing, they're not really earning playoff recognition. This could be just a slugfest when it comes down in, late November? Like, this could just be two teams that really just want to beat each other. Michigan might be playing for something. Ohio State could be playing for something. It's a long season, but I don't think it happens this year. I'm not getting excited. I will not get excited until it's 0-0, like the clock hits zero, and if Michigan wins, then I'm excited. But until then, anything can happen. Don't even want to get ahead of ourselves, but it's weird hearing them talk about it. Like, it's, you know what, kids? Today's the day I finally hit the lottery. Dad's going to get a new truck. It's such a weird feeling. Because normally when you start talking about this, you get excited. You're like, okay, yeah, we can do this. But with Michigan, it's just like we've heard this before. It's the same song and dance. We get really excited and then just nothing, man. Lastly, sorry I'm rambling, but State is very good this year.
I love to hear that.
Picked them, I believe, money line last week. I think they're playing better than a lot of people are giving them credit for, just due to their somewhat recent, not so great play. And now they're coming alive. Both teams ranked, setting up a hopefully must watch game late October against Michigan.
Like I said, I'm really happy with the job Mel Tucker has done. Year two, three games in. And technically his first full season, he's got Michigan State back in the top 25 already and playing just such fun football to watch, especially offensively. I cannot believe how fun this offense is to watch. Going from the Dave Warner days to this, it's so refreshing. It's fun. It's really fun. I enjoy watching Michigan State football again. I don't want to get too ahead of myself because it's only three games into the new season, but it's been a fun start. Let's keep it rolling at home against Nebraska. And as for Michigan, listen, you got to take it one game at a time. I understand you're playing well. You know, Ohio State's not playing well. But as I said while Grant was talking, we've seen this before. We've seen this before. And it's still way too early in the season. Like, Ohio State, it's Ohio State. They can get hot just like that. Okay? So, just take it a game at a time, see where it goes. But still, it's fair for Michigan and Michigan State fans to be excited. Both these teams are playing incredible football right now. And hopefully that's going to provide for some very exciting, meaningful games in late October, November, maybe even December. Who knows? With the way Ohio State's playing, who knows? But nonetheless, I think that's a good way to wrap up today's show. Good program today. We had a short crew, but we still got it done and put together a good show. So Eli, Mike, Grant, thank you as always. Thank you all for listening as well. For my entire crew, my name is Tony Nabrowski. We'll catch you all next week when we try to fight each other live on air in reaction to the Bucks-Rams game. Thank you all for listening. We'll catch you all soon.